How many people have really seen a 15?
You know, Arthur and I'm just a bunch of passionate golfers, and Arthur's heavy in the golf industry. He's got, you know, I'll brag for him a little bit, but he's got the most sought after fitting studio and company group in South Africa, associated with the Ernie Els clubs, with the Fan Courts of the world. And he does exceptional work. He's also a contract to the tour in South Africa and the co-sanctioned events with the DP World Tour. So if anybody's going to touch your club in South Africa as a professional, it's going to be that scrawly man in the blue shirt sitting over there. And Lance, I'm just a small businessman that made my dad a promise when he passed away in his will that I needed to start in golf industry and start a business. So I did in 2019, end of 2019, started a golf business. And then obviously the podcast is part of that. But since we've done the review of your show, we fitted two clubs at his studios. It's still not commercially available. Arthur just was so impressed with the review, and we'll go into the, sorry, I won't repeat anything more, but then Arthur was so impressed with his own review of the club that he started recommending it to customers, and for particular reasons. And so far he's converted two sales, you know, from the crank driver, which was never even available in his business. So we're on a good steady.
100% hit rate so far.
What's that? 100%
hit rate so far.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
Okay,
we're the big secret.
Okay, so I'll start off with. So today, very special for us. Everybody that's listening to this, once again, thank you always for joining us and really giving us exceptional growth, and especially in the last 3 months to all our listeners. We are so grateful. It's even weird to say listeners because, you know, we don't really consider ourselves a formal show. We're just a bunch of boys that want to talk about golf. Arthur, welcome as always. Nice to always have you as my host, and especially today, that's a very technical podcast, or hopefully we won't go into too much technicalities, but you always simplify these technicalities for us. So thank you very much for making this happen. But we are today with the owner and founder of Crank Golf, Lance Reeder. I'm going to summarize it by saying 250,000 clubs and drivers, sorry, 250,000 drivers sold worldwide. 26 long drive championships. And nearly 20 years of building clubs. I mean, do we need to say more? However, I'm going to add, you've probably not heard about them yet in South Africa, or Africa for that matter. And hopefully after today, this will be a call to action for you to certainly go and explore the options that Crank offers, because their legitimacy online, you know, it's associated with the Bryson DeChambeau of about a year ago. And we are just volley impressed. I've known Lance you for a while. I've been at the PGA show, so I'm certainly familiar with your brand. So welcome to everybody. And Lance, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me. Let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun. Golf. Exactly. So I want to jump in to a couple of things there, Lance. And just bear with us, okay? You're going to have conversations that's very technical, but I want to simplify a lot of it today, because you don't buy the latest cell phone, you know, because the engineers have told you 17,000 reasons what they've made better. It just comes down to, it's a better phone, it's more functional, it works for me, and therefore I'm going to take that opportunity. So you are still holding on to very old school ways of doing things, but I also want to say at the same time, it's not a negative position that I'm putting you there in. You've kept it very simple. We all understand the forging process, and you are currently using a better titanium raw material. Am I right in saying that?
Correct. Yes, I always have.
And I think it's pretty undisputed that no one will dispute that if you take data sets on data sets, Crank Golf drivers are the longest drivers in the world. And Arthur will explain to you from personal experience how that's already benefited him on these studios. And it was just fun for us to do that with. So you're also 100% handmade.
Yep. We are, because we weld pieces together, so they have to be they're all hand done.
Yeah, but just explain to us, just in your own words, Lance, Why are you sticking to that sort of routine? Because, and just before, I don't want to premise too much, but the three layer that you put onto your drivers and that becomes thinner in layers as the swing speed lowers, it really makes practical sense to me. That then generates that trampoline effect for you. And there is some technicalities we'll go into, but let's hear from you.
Well, I think it's important to understand where we came from. In 22 years ago, I was a professional long driver. I thought I was one of the best in the world. But we had a big problem with breaking heads. And there were small companies around that no one ever heard of. I mean, 22 years ago, I mean, you know, a third of the people were still hitting persimmon woods. And so, but, you know, we moved into the metals, into the steels, and then into the titaniums. But in the world of world long drive, back in the day, you had the Bang, the Alpha, the SMT, the Integra, names that nobody ever heard of, but they were the first companies that went and moved to the 460cc head. And that head was remarkably longer than titanium, and some of them were cup face forging, which is interesting. You know, back then I didn't know anything about it, other than the fact that I showed up to my first long drive event ready to beat everybody like everyone thinks they're going to, right? And I have a Warbird 7-degree tailor-made custom with a Harrison 47-inch X-Flex shaft. And I was getting beat by 50 yards because they were hitting 55-inch, 4 degrees at 460 cc's, 420 cc's. When I was hitting a 320 head, it wasn't even close. These small companies were making remarkable heads, and they were the very first ones to actually do it. So I learned quickly that I couldn't bring a knife to a gunfight. So I had to switch and learned a lot about these different heads. And the biggest problem that we had is they all broke. They broke, they broke, shafts broke, heads broke, everything broke. You know, you couldn't even practice. It was ridiculous. So at some point I was like, you know, these small companies are doing something super fun. I'm going to figure out if I can make a head that doesn't break. I've never made a head before, but I met some cool people. And I thought, you know, it's going to be fun to travel to China and to go to Asia and to do that kind of part of my life. And I met an incredible person out of Malaysia. And then I met an incredible factory in China, private, small boutique. And they allowed me to come in and say, hey, this is why I think this is happening. Can we try this? Can we try that? And our first real designed head was the El Diablo. And the El Diablo, by the time we came into our second or third manufacturing of it, it was indestructible. It won 5 world championships. And it was the beginning of something super cool that I believed in from the very beginning, which was that we needed a cup face forged head. And we needed to make sure that the body rigidity was very, very strong so that it wouldn't just bow and everything. And so, and then we had to make sure that we had the proper curvature in the face, which is called bulge and roll, because if not, it flattened. And I could go on for hours on this, but the truth is we found a recipe in the El Diablo 20 years ago that is still true today. That if you want to have certain, the ability to swing harder and to not flatten the face, you have to have a certain type of manufacturing, certain type of welding, certain type of body rigidity. And when you put it all together, and we were quite lucky in the El Diablo, it was super special. By the time we moved on to the Rage, which is our second one, the El Diablo was really, in my opinion, the best head in the world. But you know, we had to move on to the next one. That's what people do, right? So I'm like, I guess we're supposed to make a new one. I don't know. This one's pretty good, right? And so at the end of the day, it was a great start for us. You know, we're 17 heads later in the fire. And that's the beginning of Crank. And so our number one goal was to see if we could build a head that didn't break. And ironically, by doing that, it made it more stable. It made it hit further. It made it compress less, which gave more spin control, more directional control. And I said from the very beginning, I'm in the Phoenix, Arizona area. I'm a huge Ping fan. I grew up playing Ping. And I said, you know, El Diablo is the fastest in the world. It out hits everybody. But someday we're going to be as straight as a pin. And I can tell you today, the Fire driver is the longest hitting driver in the world, and it's straighter than a pin. So it's taken us 22 years to get to this point, but it all kind of started with this crazy long drive world, you know. But we always made a plane driver that was conforming, and we had our long drive head, which is that 4, 5, 6 degrees, sometimes 3 degree, and then we would make the 7, 5, 9, 10, 5, 12, and 14. And we made these because there's only 200 long drivers in the whole world, that, and maybe not that many. You're not going to make a living out of that, right? So you had to say, okay, this technology works really well with long drive, but does it work well with a Golf? And so, but you had to make them, and I sold them, and that was really the beginning of Crank, using the same technology as the cup face forging and 100% titanium, and we just made a great head out of the gate for regular playing golf too. And so that was how we started. We've never deviated very far from the cup facing, because it's the only way that you can guarantee that kind of durability and spring effect. And also remember that our face thickness, even on our normal conforming head, is significantly thinner than Callaway TaylorMade Titleist Supreme, because our metal is significantly harder. So that's the basic. That's how we started.
You know, speaking about all of this, Arthur and I spoke off site, and that we've seen your driver. We've, over the years, because we are, you know, over passionate golfers, we definitely heard of the Crank driver throughout the years. So it wasn't completely off the radar for us. But commercially, it never felt accessible. It never felt available. And then all of a sudden, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, which I think we all honor, you know, when me and you spoke briefly, I'd like you just to pause for a minute as to how that arrangement came about, because it's one of the best sort of arrangements I've heard in a golfing industry that doesn't have 17 lawyers involved.
It's really crazy. I mean, honestly, it's so incredibly impossible to get a major, to get a player on the PGA Tour. They're getting paid a lot of money, and if they're not getting paid a lot of money, they're given a lot of support. You know, Crank doesn't have a diesel truck that drives around to all the PGA Tour events. You know, we don't have that. And you know, the golf industry, you've got the majors, and they're not a little bigger. They're a lot bigger. You know, you got Callaway doing $2 billion a year. I mean, come on. You know, what are they spending on players? I mean, it's well documented. Some of these players are making $20 and $30 million a year. I mean, what do you do with that? Yeah. What was unique about Bryson is that I knew that he was in long drive. I knew he was doing that whole thing. I met him briefly at the World Long Drive Championship, where he took second, which is unbelievable. People just don't understand how remarkable that was. He wasn't the fastest, and he wasn't the longest.
Yeah,
but he had the best flight. And he could fill the grid up. And I wish they could actually document what happened. I watched every single swing, that he would hit a ball and he would go 345. And then he'd hit the next one and it'd go 355. And then he hit the next one and it'd go 360. And then 365. And then 370. And he's just losing his mind. But you know what? He was so good that he could hit the next ball better. And it was incredible to watch. And so he ended up taking second. People will never give him real credit for that. But that, going against Berkshire and Borgmeyer and Justin James, Tim Burke, and these guys are animals. They're the greatest in the whole world. And you know, when they're pumping 230 mile an hour ball speed, they're swinging over 160. But Bryson's flight was so brilliant that he could compete with them swinging, you know, 10 miles an hour slower. That just tells you how great flight is, right? So I knew him then, and then, but I always thought, you know, again, I'm a huge fan of my driver. I just knew that if the day came that he really wanted to have something that was durable and the face didn't flatten and it hit straighter, he would call. And his coach called, Mike Shy, and said, hey, Bryson wants to try a Crank driver. And I said, put him on the phone, let's talk. And I said, I'll tell you what, let's talk about what you're going to do. I sent him a 7.5 and a 6. And he called me the next day and he said, okay, we need to have a talk. And I said, okay. And he said, why does this thing curve 60% less than any driver I've ever tested? And you can't just say
that
it's happening. I want to know why it's happening, because he's just so into the science. And I said, this is why we have more curvature in the face. Our metal is significantly harder than anybody else's. We're cup face, so you're really not going to flatten it. I mean, if you look at a cup face driver like this, so here's like an idea. See this right here? Can you see how it's cupped? How the face is completely separate from the body?
Yeah.
So what happens is when we make that cup, we use very specific titanium. We mill it differently. And because of this perimeter, if you see this, perimeter?
Yeah.
When you have a Callaway, Tatum, or Titleist, or Ping, or virtually any other driver, they have an insert piece inside.
Yeah.
Right? We have no insert piece. We're one solid piece. And we're 100% beta titanium. That is crazy hard. We're not some alpha 6-4, that we use very specific titaniums. That's super, super, super hard. But we also have the perimeter support that no one else has in this industry. And in long drive, you don't have that. You can't win. You're going to flatten. And even like with Bryson, with his struggles that he had with his previous company, which is pretty well documented, the face is flattening too quickly. When you're losing a half a degree of bulge and roll, the curvature, every swing, exactly how are you going to play that driver? Are you going to be able to hit it on the range for 7 balls and go out and hope you can make it through, 12 strikes? And so with Crank, he'll play our driver, for 500, 600, 700, 800 hits. And if it moves at all, he's so freaking good that he feels it. So like, let's say for instance, a majors driver will flatten, they'll start at 12 degrees bulge and roll and it'll flatten to 16, 17, 18, 19. And sometimes less than 100 hits. Whereas ours start at 8.5 and over 500 hits moves to 9.5. He'll go, oh, I can feel it. And I'm like, okay, let's put a new head on. And that's really, it's just crazy. So he came to me and he said, look, that's what I want to do. And I want to try it. And he called back and he goes, this is insane. He goes, I want to hit it. I said, great. He goes, how about if we just do it as long as I want to hit it and no contracts, let's go have fun. And then he goes out and shoots 58 and goes win to win. And he hadn't won in almost 3 years. And then he goes back to back wins and then he wins the US Open. And he also hits our fairways, which hits our 3 and 5 wood, which is really a 2 and 3 wood, but he calls it a 3 and 5.
Yeah.
Well, it's 7 minus 6 on, theoretically.
Yeah, he's hitting a 9 degree and a 12 degree.
Yeah.
But I don't want to. So Bryson, would you say that Lance, commercially, let me put it this way, any regrets in that arrangement?
Well, I think, first of all, it's been an incredible growth for Crank over this last year. There's no question. I mean, it's been a super blessing. We've been waiting 22 years to actually get someone to go, I'm going to win more money than I can be paid by a sponsor.
That's the best way. That is the best way.
Because, I've got a lot of pros that have the head. And I don't blame them. They're getting paid a lot of money, and if they're not getting paid a lot of money, they're getting a lot of support. There's not a hitter that I've ever met that wouldn't hit a Crank better than what they're hitting.
Yeah.
But getting them to switch is really, really difficult. I had one very well known guy. He says I want to hit it, but I think it hits too straight. He's a big time hitter on PGA Tour. And I said, you're kidding me. He's texted that to me. I go, it's too straight. He goes, yeah, I like to work the ball. Like, you can still work it. It just curves less. I mean, who doesn't want straight, And who doesn't want durability?
Yeah.
Think about how durable some of these guys, there's so many fast guys out there. Bryson's fast. He's that 130 guy. But there's a lot of guys that are faster than that on the tour now. And so they're just going through faces and faces and faces. And when that face flattens, man, you lose that control. You know, when it's flat, it squirts and it dives and it does all that crazy that you see what happens with it. You'll never see that with the crank driver. There's certain shot patterns that never happen with ours because our face never flattens to that point.
Mm-hmm. I've got a client slash friend who plays on the Sunshine Tour who's actually just moved recently in the last month or two into the crank.
Yeah.
And he would literally go through a TaylorMade a month.
Yeah.
TaylorMade a month.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And he's swinging about 145.
So he can get it to 145. I was actually doing some work with him yesterday, sorting his three wood out, his crank three wood out. And his stock swings about 134.
That's just ridiculous.
That's with a playing length. That's not a 48-inch driver. That's a 45 or so, you know.
He's playing it at 44 inches.
There you go. See, that's just insane. You know how hard that is?
And I told him to step on it a couple of times, and it is the ball does fly further in Johannesburg because it's higher altitude, but he got a 360 meters carry.
Holy moly, 360.
Meters. I reckon as an amateur, he could step up in a long drive event. I'm not saying world long drive event. In a long drive event, he's a ball striker.
Faster than Bryson. Yeah. Bryson did it. Bryson took second.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's so much to the industry. I absolutely love doing what I do. It's been a passion of mine. Never really expected it to get to this point. But I think it's fair to say that our future really comes down to something that I decided to do 7 years ago, which was kind of controversial when I said, look, all my buddies that are getting a little older are losing like 70 yards. They're losing 50 yards. They're losing so much. And with the knowledge that I had of spring effect from World Long Drive, I mean, think about it. There's not a company in the world that has the knowledge that crank does, that I do, at super high speed. No one even tests that. There's no robotic tester that swings 150, 160, 155. You know, think about it. All these incredible, super high speed. Our whole company was founded on that. Well, guess what we learned? We learned things no one else knew, which was bulge and roll has to be more. Because you got to control flattening, you've got to stay cup facing, you've got to have super body rigidity, and it's okay to not have these super fast guys need a certain thickness. The slower guys need a different thickness.
Mm-hmm.
So a long drive head at the end of 48, 50, 52 inch shaft at 4 degrees takes a tremendous amount of impact into the face. There's very little deflection compared to a 12 degree driver in an old man's hands that's 45 and a half inches. It has tremendous deflection, so the face takes very little. We knew that to begin with. We knew that the long drivers needed a thicker face, but they all wanted thinner faces. So think about the science here.
Mm-hmm.
If people really want to know the truth about crank, this is the truth. That all the other manufacturers made thinner face drivers than crank. They all made flatter face drivers than crank. So I made thicker faced, harder metal, and more curvature in the face. And we just kept winning and winning and winning and winning and winning. Like we were winning. You say 26, we've won 36 World Long Drive Championships. It's just that after World Long Drive, kind of when COVID hit, there just had a bunch of different companies that all claimed that they were World Long Drive Championships, which was ridiculous. But anyway, so we knew that that face had to be a certain way. And people say, well, it's got too much curvature in the face. I go, oh yeah? Why are we winning? The body has so much rigidity. It needs to have less rigidity. It needs to swell more. Why? We're winning. All these things came. But then when it came to my playing driver, I says, well, my playing driver clearly doesn't have to have the same face thickness and not necessarily the same bulge and roll, maybe a little bit less. And let's go do that for the higher loss because it's not taking as much damage and it's not breaking. And so I make these drivers. They're all conforming. The LD version was on the USGA approved list. The playing driver version was on the USGA approved list. they just happened to meet the criteria. Plus, we had to, we believed back then that everything had to be on the USGA and RNA list. Well, 7 years ago, I was talking to a buddy. He goes, man, he goes, you know, 5 years ago, I was hitting at 300. Now I'm hitting at 230. Well, what ends up happening is this, is that on a normal conforming driver, it's really rated for maximum trampoline effect at 115 swing speed. It's really, that's, if you're swinging 115, you're getting 0.83. If you're swinging 90, you're getting 0.5. Why are we forcing everybody to hit an extra stiff face? We don't force them to hit an extra stiff shaft.
Yeah.
Right? And so if everything's really about that 0.83 or that 257 CT, which is how the USGA measures things now, but they have the right to measure both ways. If 0.83 core, which is coefficient of restitution spring effect as a value, if the guy swinging 115 are getting 0.83, if John Rahm is getting 0.83, why is it okay that my wife that swings 67 miles an hour gets 0.1? I believe with our metal and our cup face forging, with our metal type and curvature and the thickness that we can go into super thin faces that have tremendous spring effect for super slow swing speeds, so that my wife swinging 67 miles an hour or my buddy swinging 85 or 90 or 95 or whatever, that everyone's getting 0.83 or very, very close to it. So they're not getting high core. They're getting fair core. So we match face flex to shaft flex. So if they're hitting a senior flex shaft, they should hit a senior flex face.
Yeah.
We can do it because our metal is so freaking hard. And our manufacturing style is so durable. And we have a little more curve in the face.
To add to that, so I, going back to a fitting, I had a teenager girl, really good golfer, but she can't generate enough club head speed due to her, let's call it, physical capability, right? And they were off the distance. And I said to them, listen, there's nothing that I can give you that is going to give you more distance. It's literally impossible because the club's not allowing you to hit it further, unfortunately, right? Right. Even if you're smashing that driver at 149, 151, for example, I said I can put a crank in into the mix and you will get more out of it because it's designed for slower club head speeds. Right. And funny enough, from a 149 smash to 151 with another manufacturer, I was getting 156, 158 smash, yeah. Which is I've never seen that in 7 years, to be honest, which excites me.
It's fun. It's so different, though. You guys think about it. You get everywhere around the world, they all have their different conformity ideas. And even though you're getting more of a smash on that, the real truth is we need to bring fairness into the game for the slower swing speed golfer. And we can't just keep making tee boxes closer and closer and closer to the green. You know how much fun it is so just to kind of update everything. So 7 years ago, we started making three different face thicknesses. And in our playing driver. So we have four heads. We have the LD, then we have the Pro, the X, and the double X.
5.2, yeah.
And so they're kind of, you know, I'm not making 27 different face thicknesses. It's just not reasonable. But in those other ones, you know, we're selling these double X's to these 80-year-old men that haven't hit 200 yards in the last decade that are calling up going, I had two drives over 200 for the first time in 10 years. I mean, and the truth is he's if he's not hitting the proper face thickness for him, then he's hitting the face thickness for John Rahm, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau. What's going on? Yeah. Let's get some fun into the game. So, and yet it's not. So here's where it gets somewhat complicated. And I think I probably coined this phrase. I don't believe there's a conforming and a non-conforming driver. I know there's conforming and I know there's non-conforming, but there's also non-submitted.
Yeah.
Not every driver made in the world, not even half the drivers made around the world are submitted to the USGA and RNA every year. They're non-submitted. They're meant to be played and enjoyed in recreational golf. If you're playing in elite amateur or professional competitions that require the driver to be on the USGA conforming list, then you're forced to hit the pro.
Mm.
Which is hilarious because people, our pro is thinner faced than everybody else's anyway. Our pro creates more spring effect for slow swing speeds than does any major. But it's still not the best choice for them.
Yeah.
But if they're like super sensitive to it, because if a guy is swinging or a gal is swinging 70 miles an hour, but they feel they have to hit a driver on the USGA conforming list.
Okay.
And they're playing, they're not even playing elite amateur. They're not playing, they're playing in their men's club or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is, it depends on what part of the world people get, and it's better to talk openly about this, that it's better to talk about it, to say, look, your men's club is not elite amateur. It's not. Your member guest is not elite amateur. I don't believe it's fair that we ask these super slow swing speeds to continue hitting drivers that have no spring effect. They may as well be hitting a persimmon. They're probably going to hit their three wood further. You know why? Because the three wood weighs more.
Yeah.
So you get more mass with a three wood than you get with a driver, but neither one has any spring effect.
And it's got more loft.
Yeah.
Even if you had the same loft, the fairway's heavier.
Yeah.
So people say, well, I tell everybody, and I got a lot of grief for this. I said, if your driver's not 30 yards longer than your three wood, you're hitting the wrong driver.
If you have an 8-year-old individual hitting 120 shots versus 95 shots, they're going to enjoy themselves much more, and they're going to want to play.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we're taking some of these women from hitting 110 yards to 150.
Yeah.
They're not a threat to the game at 150.
No.
So I really do believe in the near future it's not going to be as much of an issue, and I even believe that the USGA kind of clarified a little bit last year. Elite amateur and professional competitions are more so on the conforming list. Remember, conforming list.
Yeah.
So the one of the things that we run into a lot here, and it's really mind-blowing, it's hard for me to explain it effectively, apparently, but I'll try to here, that our conforming driver face is 2.7 millimeters thick, the Fire Pro. It's on the USGA conforming list. It's 2.7 millimeters. Virtually every major is 3.8 to 4 millimeters thick. Why? Because our metal is harder, more vulnerable, and we have cut facing. So our pro-conforming driver still gives more spring effect for slower swing speed than does these 4 millimeter majors. It just, that's a fact. But, so people say, well, I want to hit your conforming driver. And I go, okay, you can hit it. That's fine, but it's not meant for me. It's not made for me. I'm like, neither is the one you're hitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing
is, get your head around the fact that if you don't want to hit the driver that has the proper face flex or face thickness for you, and you want to hit one on the, our pro is going to out hit everything you have in your senior ladies flex, but it's still not the best for you. But that doesn't mean you can't hit it.
Yeah.
Because you're hitting one that's much thicker now. So I think this year with some of the videos that we're doing, we're going to be talking about that a little bit more to get people to understand. I mean, the real truth is everybody should be able to hit anything that's best for them. I mean, I don't consider it cheating. I just simply don't. And, but at the end of the day, if you're going to play in the Masters, they have rules.
Yeah.
Right. And if you want to play in the Masters and you can get into the Masters, you abide by the rules.
Yeah.
It's really not that complicated, but there is absolutely no sense to have a men's club or women's club that's forcing conformity faces that are completely unfair to them. And there will probably be my legacy at the end. because I believe it needs to go across the board.
Thanks, Lance. You've just helped us because we had a section about that. But Arthur, I just want to go to you. Wanted to say something there?
I wanted to add to conforming with regards to the ball rollback that's out there at the moment and that conversation. Right. What do you think of that? I know that's got nothing to do with drivers, but
it does and it doesn't. I know why you're asking the question.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I've talked to Bryson about it. You know, he did his ball rollback thing, and it's really, really I think the USGA and the RNA, which do a great job in many ways, are super scared about what's going to happen in 50 years from now when we're even longer hitting. And you have these courses that are limited in distance. Here's where I take exception to it. You can make a course as hard as you want to make it with the mower.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what happened at the Open Championship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bryson comes in there just cruising. He goes into the front nine under the worst possible conditions ever. And day two, he had the same thing.
Yeah.
So you have conditions based. You can set the course up so ridiculous that no one can shoot under par.
Yeah, and that's before Mother Nature gets involved.
You can put transitions in par fours. You can put transitions in par fives. You can do whatever, because there's no way that the ball, being a lesser compression ball, is going to be as fun to play.
They might as well then just make the drivers just go further and further anyway. So, I mean.
But they already kind of do. You know, the drivers are maxed out.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, if you really understand the spring effect issue, the trampoline effect issue, that the faster you swing under the current metal materials that we know of, that for Kyle Berkshire, he needs a much thicker face than does, you know, John Rahm. And why? Because if you thin the face out, it's not going to go further. There's this point of diminishing returns, right? And so there is, you know, these carbon line tailor-made faces that are backed by titanium backs. Well, the age of titanium is not over if you're still using titanium on the back of them.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, now that we're gluing pieces together, not crank, but everybody else, they're gluing pieces together. They're gluing carbon together, carbon tops, faces, bottoms, you know, 360 bodies. Who wants to weld when you can glue? But you lose all your body rigidity. You lose your energy storage.
Yeah.
I can tell you that there's no question in any way, shape, or form that I'm wrong here, that a crank driver being super rigid, cup facing, transfers energy back to the ball quicker, more efficiently, with less spin and deformation that creates a much more difficult shot to go straight. We are faster off the face back to the ball for the energy than any driver in the world, and it's because of how we're made.
Thank you very much for sharing all of that. You've helped us answer some of the questions we had for you anyway. I just want to go back just a second here. You spoke about, you know, if I look at golf in the last little bit, let's say when the Saudi investment fund got involved, it almost opened up what was really happening. Players weren't allowed to speak about their sponsors outside of the perimeter. They owned the rights, the PGA Tour, towards their, you know, their brand and their social media within the confines of the PGA. The Saudi investment fund comes, it exposes a lot because all of a sudden people start speaking. But it almost felt like you were trapped in a similar system that, if you look at the sponsorships at a PGA and how that's controlled, it's very difficult to break through. I mean, I'm not going to mention names, but there's a technology company that does launch monitors, South African. Everybody should know by now who it is. But they've had huge challenges, and Bryson was actually one of the ambassadors at some stage as well. But it's so difficult when you're up against a truck that it costs millions of dollars to run, a massive team to be able to do that. They loan those units to the players. They get beautiful pictures into the media. And we just don't, there isn't, a smaller company just doesn't have that type of resources to have those type of contracts in play. but it's kept out the innovative, independent golf manufacturers in a lot of ways, which are now I start to see that breakthrough happening in the market. Because just like the long drive guys, and please, no offense to any one of them, me and you spoke briefly. I mean, it's no one really thought of them as golfers. I mean, let me speak for myself. I didn't really think of them as golfers. Since they've opened up their YouTube channels and they play on the course, they play with other guys on YouTube, and they're breaking the 50 with Bryson DeChambeau. All of a sudden, you can skill the skill set transferring onto the course. And just the last point there, something interesting: the YouTube guys of golf, you know, tried for the PGA not too long ago. There was an event for them, but there wasn't really any breakthrough in that. Do you think that that's all helped? And is my statement completely off?
No, I think there had to be competition. There had to be the ability to say, look, you know, the PGA Tour has been around a long time. I have a lot of respect for them. It's a very close system. Clearly a monopoly on the golf industry. They've done a great job in many, many ways. But you know what? Without LIV, and I'm a huge LIV fan, LIV basically created a competition saying, look, you know, we're going to change the rules. Look at the insane amount of press that Bryson DeChambeau has brought to the game of golf by having the freedom to do his YouTube, to do the stuff. You know, he couldn't do that on the PGA Tour. They don't even allow it. Think about how insane that is. That is not even staying with the times. I mean, if we want the game of golf to improve, you can't just lock all these guys down. You know, and some of them don't want to do it anyway, but the people like Bryson that really are passionate about making this game more accessible, taking it to 250 million golfers, whatever the case is, he didn't have that opportunity on the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour, and I think they're probably coming together from what I'm seeing, that things are going to probably...
I saw this week, yeah.
I think at the end of the day, everybody needs to look at what's happened over the last 3 years with LIV, that people are interested in expanding the game and they have to have the freedom to do it. The PGA Tour just got a little too tight. And it made golfers feel like they weren't being treated fairly. Was it a great opportunity? Is it a great opportunity? It 100% is.
But
LIV basically said, look, this is a different way of looking at it. And let's see if this one works better. Well, what happens? Oh, once you have $20 million events, PGA Tour. That doesn't happen without LIV. Everybody freaking knows it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited about the industry. I love what I do. I plan on doing it until I choose to not do it, develop drivers. I'm super passionate about drivers and fairways. I probably will never make anything else because I really don't believe there's any technology out there in other clubs that I can definitively say, I think I can make them better.
Gotcha.
And if I can't do that, you know, I hit Strix on irons. I think they're absolutely amazing. I would hate to try to make one better.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, where's the technology that would actually make them better? And so I don't see it, but I can tell you with my cut face forging, like in my fairways, I have the thinnest face fairways in the world. They're miraging, they're cup-faced, they're dual heat treated, and they're built like my driver. I was talking to Bryson, he goes, he's hitting the same three wood for an entire year.
That's insane.
He says, you know that I would have gone through 30 at least of my last ones. So we have more curvature in the face, and I don't know that he'd won that US Open without that three wood.
Yeah.
Which I gave him 2 days earlier.
Is that the backstory?
That's another story. Yeah. And by the way, when he changed his driver on that Sunday, it wasn't broken. He just chose to change it.
Okay. Okay.
He broke his driver. He didn't break his driver.
Oh my word. You're helping us with a lot of questions we had. So thank you, Lance. Thank you very much. So Lance, just on what you said now, I'm really excited to hear about the video rollout and the marketing that you're going to create. I'm excited about that because if I have to be critical, what's really challenging about your driver is that there's a lot of education that's required with that. I mean, if somebody takes the time to listen to you today, it will definitely get you to go, I need to try this. You know, I need to give it a go. But it comes down to educating the consumer. And I will say this, Arthur, maybe you can just talk to us about, you perhaps had a preconceived idea of when you got the crank opportunity to review. Maybe just talk us through that.
Well, let me just add to that. What I like about the brand is the honesty about the brand. So there's no hidden things within the product to say, okay, it just does X, Y, and Z, right? That's what I like about the brand. It's all out there. There's no bullshitting with how they design the heads, which I like a lot. And yeah, I was a fool when I did the review, to be honest, because
that was awesome. Because you could tell it was pretty, it was genuine. It was like, I didn't really think this would be worth it.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, right? Thanks to Bryson, I did the review.
Right.
Let's be honest. And that is so terrible for me to not give a brand a chance, right? And I felt like such a fool. That's why I say that. And I was completely shocked. I hit a couple of drives before I started filming. And it blew me away. And it was actually very, very crazy because I wasn't feeling good on the day and the numbers I was getting was absolutely insane. And once I got to the Aldi head, Bryson's using the Pro or the Aldi?
Aldi. The Aldi 6.
Yeah. So with the 5 degree, with the long drive shaft, and I think the last time I hit a long drive golf club was when I was still on tour and I could hit the ball pretty straight and I couldn't keep it on the planet. So I was just expecting the ball to go straight right all day with zero loft.
And what length was that shaft?
I think it was at 46, just under 46. It's obviously conforming to long drive right now, which I think is 46, right?
48.
I'm not too sure.
Long drive has their own rules.
I just know it was long because I play with a 45-inch driver. The grip was Bryson's thick jumbo grip. And I was just feeling 50, 60 right all day. And that impressed me the most. When I hit three down the middle, it was the tightest dispersion out of all three heads. And I was completely blown away. And I think I did say in the video, I was a fool not. I had a conceived idea of, let's call it the brand, and I didn't give it a chance. And I'm glad I got humbleized in that moment, which was amazing.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. What you just said is the biggest problem for a manufacturer.
Yeah.
I mean, when I said earlier that the majors aren't kind of big, they're humongous. They control the market in ways that it's multi-generational to even get there.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Callaway goes public and raises billions in 48 hours. Mm. Where's that going to happen today? And so with Crank, I made a choice early on, and you talked about advertising and getting the message out. There's so much preconceived notion out there that people just buy Callaway, Katermay, Titleist, Ping, Cobra. They buy it all because that's what they buy.
100%. It's what the retailers stock. It's what the fitters recommend. It's what they'd use to manipulate the data in order to sell you the driver. We speak about that very openly this side.
It's really incredible. But, you know, these golfers are marketing drivers that don't have they're nice. Yeah. I'm playing my men's club like 3 weeks ago, and the guy that I know, he knows I own Crank, and he's got this new driver. I won't say who. And I go, how do you like that? He goes, oh man, it's 30 yards longer. It's just so incredible. So I play with him around hole nine, his longest drive's 180. And I go, wow, so you used to hit 150. And he goes, no, I've been hitting 180 for years. And I'm going, no, you told me it's 30 yards longer. I'm just curious. And I knew the guy. I said, why are you marketing for them? It's not hitting a yard further. Mm. But you told me it's 30. Why would you tell me that? Because that's what people do. They spend the money. they get committed to it, and the marketing is so massive out there by these companies that it's hard to overcome that. Bryson gave us just this remarkable opportunity to get exposure that we could have never afforded, and he's winning with it in a way that's interesting. Yeah, is he trying to make his own driver? He is. But, you know, we knew from day one he's going to hit crank as long as crank as he's hitting crank. Doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, would I like to have other guys? Yeah, we've got a few other guys that have our driver now. We'll see how it rolls out this next year. But it's still the fact that we chose a business model that was not traditional. Why? Where's the billion-dollar rollout? Hmm. We chose to be online. We chose to do it through World Long Drive as a hobby that turned into what it is today. And we discovered some technology that is really effective, like incredible. I mean, think about it. My thinnest face driver is 1.4 millimeters thick. Callaway's 3.9.
If people just take a moment for perspective.
1.4 millimeters thick. You know how thin that is? And they don't break if they stay in the swing speed range. Hmm. Now, what happens if I hit a double X driver at 1.4 millimeters thick? I still swing 130. Hmm. I will hit it 30 to 40 yards shorter.
Yeah.
I'll overload the face. It has no value. I'll ruin it. I'll flatten it. It hits shorter anyway. I hit the Fire Pro 7.5 because that face thickness is exactly what I need. So for people to say, well, we're just trying to make the longest hitters hit off the planet, that's not true. There's no material known to man, none, that can give you exorbitant spring effect and have any level of durability. So our market is direct to public, over the phone. Steven Van Zyl at Grasslands is our distributor right now. He's done a great job. He's known with me for many years in South Africa. But we're selling all over the world. We're in 15, 16 countries.
Okay.
We want to grow. We want to be in every store that wants us. But we're going to market direct to public over our website, which has been very, very effective. And, you know, we're open to any ideas to continue marketing better. But our number one goal is to make products that actually have significant benefit. And to do that, you have to live in the multiple face thickness world.
Yeah.
If you really want it.
Lance, I just want to point something out there. You know, if you go back with Bryson all these years, and I know we're using him as a large example today, but he has always been a rebel. It started with the putting. It started with his swing. It started with the way he was training. You know, he's always been a rebel and inspired at the same time. Then he went through quite a phase of nobody likes Bryson. He's arrogant. He's that. He's this. There's no doubt that his PR was a nightmare for a while. Then he starts the YouTube channel, and he's so authentic in his delivery. He's so authentic in what he does and how he wants to talk to you. And we all know that it takes time to do those things. So I think amateurs appreciate it. And today, I would say single-handedly, he's one of our modern era. He's one of the most influential golfers to ever walk the modern earths. No doubt about that. And the lesson for me then is that we should all stick to what we think works for us, because that's what he did. When everybody told him not to do that, when everybody told him don't go that, and today is not a bashing about anybody, but there's a certain PGA swing that gets taught, you know, and unless you conform within that swing parameters, it's not considered a beautiful swing. But then on tour, there's so many different anomalies. I still don't understand why people think there's only one way to get to the ball and strike it and get it off, lift off.
Well, and I agree with that.
I can also add to that a reason. Sorry, I just wanted to interrupt there. The reason why Bryson didn't have the right PR is because he was a mad scientist. No offense. He would find fault in products, manufacturers, and equipment, whether it's golf ball, golf clubs, and he wants best for Bryson, right?
Yeah.
And which is perfectly normal. And that wasn't likable, I'll be honest. But he asked the right questions, and all he's doing is trying to make the game better at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And obviously a couple of years down the line, and he's just being honest. He's not.
Yeah, and he makes it awkward, but he's right.
Yeah. But he's right. Here's the point. He had problems with the driver that was flattening in the face so quickly that he couldn't control it. It wasn't that he was trying to be mean. Maybe he didn't explain it right at the time. But, you know, also remember that he's had a remarkable opportunity to see himself in a camera a lot lately, right? So he's recording himself and he's seeing himself back. The truth is he's a super nice guy. He's very funny, right? He's highly intelligent. He's easy to be around. He's unbelievably competitive. And if he's not playing well, you know it. But at the end of the day, I'll hand him something. He'll say, okay, let's try this. And I'll hand it to him. And he'll go. Three swings later, he's like, no, not working. That quick. Like, you know, he's like his 3-wood and his 5-wood. You know, it's a good thing they're durable because they're hard. You know, he is so picky that he will hit something like in a driver. Like we'll go to like we're at the Open Championship and I'll take out 10 heads and he'll hit all 10 heads once or twice. Out of those 10 heads, he'll say, oh yeah, oh yeah. That's so we'll have four left. Then we take them, we go through the four and I measure them and I mark them 1, 2, 3. So we have 3 heads. We have his playing head, 2 backups out of 10. He feels within 1 to 2 swings whether he likes that head. It's incredible. If he hits it 3 times, it means he likes it. So he's not, he's different than everybody else. But at the same time, I think people need to understand he's really, really nice. He's super kind to people around him. He's very, very competitive. And you know what? If he's forced to hit something that he doesn't feel he can win with, yeah, he's going to have an attitude about it. Period. He doesn't like that.
And no offense to what I said. I was just from an outside perspective.
No, Arthur, no offense whatsoever. I can tell you right now, we all understand that, you know, it's starting to change. But golf is an individual sport. No one else is going to say, oh, Bryson, but you really like me as an OEM. You really spoke nicely with you, but you were nothing. No one's going to go to Bryson and say, you should have switched. He just followed his own path. I actually have a completely opposite view. I think I appreciate it. I stand right behind him. And like any businessman, you sometimes have to forge your own road. And you can't listen to what everybody else is telling you. Or your road to success is different to somebody else's success. And so I stand by. I think it was wonderful and it's inspiring. But I just want to quickly ask you, Lance, so I buy your driver today. What's my backup? Okay, I just want to talk to commercials a little bit. So I go to Stephen today as a South African. 42% of our viewers sits in the States, so I'm sure that will be sorted for them. And about 30% of us, a lot of our viewers sits in Europe, but in South Africa. So I want to go and buy that driver. Obviously, we know, and we'll put it into our link for Stephen them, and they are the dealerships. But how do you back this up? How does it work?
Well, you can go get fitted there. You know, you can go to our website. Our website at crankgolf.com. You can go to through our fitting, our automated fitting system there, and it will pick it for you. Or you can go and you guys get on board with Steven and carry stock if you guys want to. Whatever, it's open. He's my main guy. He's been with me for years. He's been super loyal to me, and he's done an incredible amount of work with us. We want to honor him, and we also doesn't mean that other people can't carry it. They just need to go through him. And so, but getting fitted in person is always better than being fitted over the phone or through a system, right? Through a website. But because we can't fit everybody, we have a very effective online fitting tool that people can use that picks it for them. It even picks the proper face thickness for them.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty cool system. But at the end of the day, when you go and get fitted by you guys, or by Steven or his crew or any other quality fitter, it's always better to do it in person. But not everyone has that opportunity.
No. Shame, Lance, I don't mean to interrupt you there, but we will certainly, not meaning that come to us for the fitting. We just wanted to have a call to action. So I go to Steven today. I buy my driver. Let's say something happens with the head. Something happens with the fitting. It's not perfectly for me. What's the sort of backup and support that you guys provide?
Then that would mean that you would want to get it changed through Steven if you're buying it through Steven.
Okay.
If you're buying it through our website and you want to pay the exorbitant amount of money to ship it to South Africa,
which is
one of the most expensive places to ship in the whole world.
It is.
From the US, then, you know, that would be very will change up anything for anybody as long as they're paying shipping internationally, which is not effective. It's better to buy in country if you can, especially in South Africa. Okay. In Canada, it doesn't matter. South Africa, you want to buy in country if you can. And our goal is always to get expansion into South Africa. And I know that money's tight for everybody all around the world, and drivers aren't cheap. But if you have an issue, you have an in-country rep that will make sure you're taken care of. And he orders from us regularly. So if we need to replace a broken something or this or that or the other, then we will just include it in the next shipment to him without anybody having to pay extra shipping.
Okay. I just wanted to give end users the peace of mind that the crank is obviously backed up, by you guys in the States. And I agree with you. I've been to Steven's long drive competitions over the last six or seven years. Many. I mean, the passion, you know, his son, what's his son's, Thorn. You know, we see him a lot at golf days, just general corporate days that they hire him to sort of, you know, give you a bit of excitement for the day, and you can choose to use his ball and so forth. And he's also got a very close relationship to FlightScope locally, which they do a lot of their measurement for them for. So I think they're a great bunch, and I'm very glad that Arthur has also started to offer it, and we're working with Stephen on that. But just quickly, I just want to find out, I mean, I haven't known this to be true, but you've got a 9, 11, 13, and 15 wood. Okay, and it goes up to 39 degrees. But hear me out. And Lance, it's not that we're explaining about your club, but I'll tell you what makes practical sense to me.
You want to see one?
Yeah.
How many people have really seen a 15 wood?
No, I must be honest. I've never heard of a 15 wood.
It's actually pretty cool.
Olden day chippers.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. But you know, the reason I did it, I guess you're asking why did I do it?
I'll tell you our practical conversation, me and Arthur. So I said to him, if I look at 15, 20 handicappers, it depends on the golfer. You know, that could vary. They much prefer to pull a wood out of their bag on a certain distance than a 4 or a 5 iron. Or a 3 iron for that matter. I'm the opposite. You know, I'm certainly not in my peak, but I can still hit the golf ball every now and again. So I'm very comfortable with the 4 iron. But I can see why. The moment I saw that on your website, I was like, I can see why you did that. And I can see an amateur golfer specifically struggling with the irons to rather pull out a 11 and 13 and 15 wood.
I play with a 7 wood. It's the best.
With what? What do you play with?
I play with a 7 wood. I take my 4 iron out of the bag and it's 7 wood.
There's a lot of day.
It's way easier to hit. I think your ego is just in the way, Albert.
I think it might be. I think it might. Fair point.
Well, I think it's interesting. Like, the reason I made it was because I stopped making my hybrid. So I've always made hybrids and fairwoods up until the fire. And I decided when I really wanted to go into the high spring effect fairwood world, well, who's even thought of that? No one's even thought of it. But because I'm going miraging dual heat treated cup facing, which doubled the price of me making this head, because I wanted to go deep cup face with miraging steel, which is dual heat treated, which allowed me to go half as thick in the face, which allowed me to increase spring effect in the face, even though it's a smaller fit. You know, it's a meat, I call it a mid top. It's not super small, but for a fair, it's a fairwood smaller face than a driver. So you're not going to get as much potential spring effect out of the face.
Yeah.
There's just not that much flex, right? But you still can get some. And so I went to that direction. And so then I decided not to do my hybrids. And if you're not going to do your hybrids, let's have some fun. My factory was not happy with me. So this is a fun one. So check this out. We're launching this shortly.
Oh, my word.
That's crazy.
What is that, a 2.1 degree?
It's a 2 wood, 10 degrees.
2 wood, 10 degrees. Sorry, I was just thinking, holy moly, that can't be for amateur. 2 wood,
10 degrees. So we have a 2, a 3 plus, which is 13.
What is a CC on that 2 wood, sorry?
260.
Okay.
And the face height is, it's just a phenomenal fairwood. But then we go 3 wood, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, and 15 wood, both right and left-handed, which is even crazier. Hmm. So it's the We have the only, in my opinion, the only high spring effect fairways in the world, and we make them all the way to 15. How long am I going to do that? I don't know for sure, but for this next year, I will.
Oh, wonderful. Listen, Lance, I mean, if you don't mind, we would like to follow this up at some stage with you because we want to create, you know, Arthur, I'm just so excited for Arthur as well, you know, from that he owns the True Fit and he's so experienced in this stuff. And I only found out today that he's done two fittings, you know, on the Crayon Golf since he's done the actual podcast. And I'm just amazed how quickly one, this guy takes things up, but it's another call to action. We all know Stephen and them are available in South Africa. Thorn, that is the long drive champion, in South Africa. He's the son of Stephen. They're based in Alberton. So make contact with him if you need a driver. And then Arthur will certainly be available. I know that Arthur is still working out some commercials with Crank, but Arthur will certainly make it available at his studios, and there's very specific reasons to have those type of. I personally, Lance, am very very excited to go and try it out myself. I haven't been able to do that, but I tell you what, it just makes a lot of sense. You've actually taken the technicality and made it practical, and I think a lot of people would understand and relate to it. And congratulations for being against the grain. You know, I tell you now, Lance, when you talk about community, you talk about building it slowly but surely. I'm telling you now, there's so many business ventures that could be said should have gone the community built slower route than rather raising funds, losing ownership of their business, losing input into their business. And eventually, as we sit here today, the original founders own almost nothing of their own businesses. Mm-hmm. It's run by these massive corporates with all sorts of screening and telling you what to say, how to say it, how to look, you know. And we know in South Africa, I honor the BGA. For what they've done. I also honor Liv for shaking things up, just like I honor the OEMs and the Titleist that started with a ball development, you know, purely because he just thought the balls was uneven when he played himself personally. You know, I honor all of the mountains that we stood onto, but it's really exciting because, and I don't want to go on, but the last sort of 3 years in golf, 4 years for that matter, has been a real spurge for independent companies breaking through, whether it's with tech, whether it's with launch monitors, whether it's with balls. I mean, Kirkland balls are making so much drama at the moment. And there's so many that are now becoming commercially. I tell you now, Rick Shields would not have reviewed a Kirkland ball 5 years ago, not in his life. Right. Well, he just did. And for me, it's very exciting that a lot of companies like yourself, that it forged the road. You make it easier for other companies to now know there's a road towards success.
Thank you. And you know, in closing on my side, you know what? We got to make the game more fun.
Mm. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, as much as I believe that I have the greatest driver ever made for a pro.
Yeah.
I absolutely know I have the greatest driver ever made for slow swing speed.
Yeah,
because no one's ever done it. They're too scared to do it, or they don't have the technology to do it. I don't know. Do you think the metal in the face of a major at 1.4 millimeters would actually hold up? No.
TaylorMade just went through that.
Will ever do that, and they can start building what we build. They won't do it because we're handmade. And you know what? When you need 1 million to 2 million drivers, you're not going to hand weld them.
No.
So when people say, well, how are you better than them? Well, because we build it in a way that they cannot. There's people say, why hasn't someone bought Crank? Because our drivers are a pain in the butt to make.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do? How many people are you going to have to hire to hand weld and to stamp pieces and, you know, deal with the way these carbon bodies are pressed by the millions at low dollar. And they're glued together. Who wouldn't want to glue together something, not weld it? So, I mean, and it's not because we're so old school. It's just that it's better.
Yeah.
It is 100% better. Yeah. So we do what we do. You know, if you have any questions about Crank, you can always call us. But at the end of the day, let's all just use a little bit of common sense. I know it's hard to come by nowadays.
Say,
look, you know what?
Well, especially in the U.S.
More fun. Yeah. Especially where I'm at today with the election. But we're not talking about
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway, but it's, you know, let's enjoy the game more and and you know, take advantage of the technology that's out there to make the game more enjoyable. And that's really the simple, simple truth of it all.
Yeah.
And we're just doing things that are different. If you want a driver or a Fairwood, go get Crank. We're the best.
Yeah. And, you know, on that note, Lance, and Mornay, you might want to edit this out because I'm not sure what Lance will feel about this. But in our world of Africa, you Toyota. And in Africa, Toyota is the most reliable, the hardest built. They are innovative and stick to the basics. And when everybody is putting in new systems to break batteries that last less, Toyota sticks to what they do. And that's why it's the number one trusted brand in Africa. And like I said, Mona, you might want to edit this out because I'm not sure what that position is in America for Lance.
I'm not holding to anybody.
In African terms, I can just tell you now, that is a huge compliment. If you see a farmer, a guy in the bush, hunting anywhere where there's no access to anything, he will have a Toyota.
That's awesome. I'm good with whatever you want to add to this thing. You know, I'm not exactly beholden to anybody.
Yeah, I know in America, you know, see, I'm a Ford guy and here's a Toyota guy sitting at the same screen. We split here between us. but we are so grateful for your time as well, Lance. You know, when I spoke to you the first time, and I'll finish on this, you've made this human, you've made this accessible. You haven't told us who are you guys, you know, do you know who I am? You know, why would you want to talk to me? But thank you for making this accessible and hopefully everybody enjoys this engagement the way I have certainly today.
And I want to thank you guys for having me on. This stuff means a lot to us. You know, it's only been recently that we're even asked. And okay. So we're grateful for every opportunity.
What a pleasure. I can tell you, Neil Lance, we are not that channel that called you because of Bryson. It came from our review. And we were prepared
to
pay
for cool that.
But we were prepared. And the reason I say that to you is because we are a little bit of rebel in our own space. We are not a big commercial application like on the big TV sites. We don't have the type of corporate support that everybody else does. But our reach and our listenership, they spend thousands and thousands of hours with us a month. And that's something we certainly don't take
Which
for granted.
Is so cool.
Yeah.
But I can see that even with, you know, with your posting of hitting the crank, it was super clean. Your facility looks beautiful. Your communication style is amazing. So just keep doing what you're doing. There's not a lot of, I don't know what's going on in South Africa, but I bet you guys have a good opportunity to take a big part of that.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Well, from my side, the only reason why I do this is because I love the game, right? And to grow the game, to put the right golf clubs in people's hands, money, it's amazing to make money, but at the end of the day, to give someone satisfaction in golf and make them play better, hit it longer, straighter, is just awesome. Something I wake up for. So you guys put on a show for me when I did the review, and I want to publicly say sorry for not doing it earlier.
We're saying that. We're grateful for
that. It was a shock, and I enjoyed every moment of that.
Thanks, man. Well, again, I appreciate everything, and let's do this again sometime.
Fantastic, Lance. Bless you and your entire team behind us, and thank them so much for your time. And we hope you guys have another tremendous, tremendous year.